Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. I'm here with I-80 Sports. We're talking college football week 3. Let's get into it. Welcome, everyone. Rich here with Ed and Dave. We're talking some week 2 recap, some week 3 predictions, some high-performance players. We got our traffic report, toll booth, rear view. We got it all here at I-80 Sports. Please give us a like, follow on YouTube. We'd greatly appreciate that. How's everyone doing tonight?
Very good, man. A lot of good games this week. I wish we had time to talk about them all. We've picked out some good ones to share with everybody, but college football's back, and it's a tossy-turdy season already, as we'll get into, but looking forward to another solid week of college football. Much better week this week.
Doing well. Just want to give a quick shout-out. Happy 60th birthday to best quarterback in college football history, Dan Marino. Just turned 60. Just throw that out.
Yeah, Dan Marino. All right, let's
get Lace is out. Lace is out.
The traffic report.
The I-80 Sports Traffic Report, where you can find all your news and notes from the week.
So we're going to be talking big stories, news, and notes here. Ed, why don't you start us off with some big stories, news, or notes?
I think one of the biggest stories coming out this week is Clay Helton was fired as the head coach at USC. 2 games into the season, they let him go. Honestly, I wouldn't rank it as one of the top 5 jobs in college football, but I definitely have it as one of the top 10. I mean, you're in recruit-rich California. You can recruit California well. You can do well at USC. Obviously, a storied program. Some early names I'm hearing floating around: James Franklin from Penn State, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, as well as our friend Urban Meyer, who's currently with the Jaguars, although he did come out today and said he had no interest in USC, that he wants to try to build the program, or not the program, build the team at Jacksonville. But honestly, one of the top 10 programs in the country is looking for another head coach. So keep our eyes open to see what they can do with USC. They got some talent there, and it's a great place to play with the tradition they have there, and really recruiting heavy out of California. So it's an ideal job for somebody.
Dave, what are your big stories, news, and notes here for us?
Well, I just want to go over to one huge upset last week in college football. Florida State was up 17-7 with under 7 minutes to go against Jacksonville State, and they let Jacksonville State come back and beat them 21-17. And they gave up a touchdown with 6 seconds left, a 59-yard touchdown. And all they did was tackle the guy. They didn't wrap him up, and then Jacksonville State shocked Florida State. Man, that program has really fallen on hard times. It's unbelievable that they almost beat Notre Dame and then they lose to Jacksonville State.
Yeah, after 2 weeks ago, you thought they were back with the way they played at Doak Campbell against Notre Dame. But then it just kind of shows that Mike Norvell might not be the head coach that everyone thinks he is. I mean, big thing going around question wise is, you know, 6 seconds on the clock. They're not in a prevent defense. Florida State didn't play prevent. They had to, you know, they got to throw for the end zone because there's no way they're going to complete a 20-yard pass downfield or 15-yard pass downfield and be able to get a timeout to get a field goal attempt. And that's what his excuse – or, well, sorry, not his excuse, but that was his reasoning for not being in prevent, was he's afraid they're going to dump it and try to kick a field goal. But everybody that looked at it said even if they caught it, time would have run out. So Norvell's on the hot seat early at Florida State. Maybe another Clay Helton coming soon down there. And
to me – I just look at the state of Notre Dame. Speaking of that, I know you guys mentioned Notre Dame. Florida State goes to overtime against them. Florida State loses to Jacksonville State. Where's Notre Dame at? They almost lost to Toledo last week. It was a thriller. Awesome game. I was on Toledo. That was one of my games I gave out here. Plus 17 points. That was an easy cover in that one. It was a little sweaty at times just based on the skill level of Notre Dame. But I'm pretty down on Notre Dame. Just a little preview when we get into our bets moving up to here. Yeah. Might be betting against Notre Dame again this week. What else you have here for us?
It's a couple weeks old, but at University of Pittsburgh, they had a guy donate, I think it was well over $2 million. And so now Pat Narduzzi, the Pitt head coach, is known as the, Chris Brickle 97 head coach. They named it after the alumni, the guy who donated like $2 million. I find that fascinating where the world is headed now that the college players can sell their name rights. You know, we're already headed for it pretty soon. You know, the AT&T Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
A lot of people say that's coming. A lot of people said pretty soon you're going to see some sponsorships on jerseys, just like we have in the NBA. But, you know, rolling out of that, Rich, into another big story last week, Brock Purdy, early Heisman candidate, Iowa State 4-year starter, got benched to start the fourth quarter after he threw three picks against the Hawkeyes. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass this year. Currently, Iowa State is last in the Big 12, averaging 337 yards a game, which is about 100 yards less than they were doing last season. But Coach Campbell came out. I think it was a great move and a smart play on his part and said he's sticking with him. Guy's a 4-year starter, holds all kinds of records at Iowa State. So Brock Purdy will be back starting for the Cyclones this week at Iowa State, which I think is a very smart move because he's just a leader and he's off to a rough start. He'll bounce back. I don't think, you know, we're going to see him competing for the Big 12, but that conference is wacky. You never know.
Yeah, it's really wide open here in that Big 12 conference. Iowa's looking good. I wasn't really high on Iowa this year. I know, Ed, you mentioned Iowa was a tough game for Iowa State. You liked them in that one earlier.
I did like Iowa. I like Iowa in the Big Ten. And last thing before we move on is, like we said before, and we'll talk earlier, it's crazy season right now. Already 2 weeks in, two top five teams have lost. Clemson losing to Georgia week one. And then Oregon knocking off number three Ohio State this week. Ohio State, yeah, I still think Ohio State has a better chance to get in the playoff. But what they need is they need to be Iowa's biggest supporter. They need Iowa to go undefeated and then for Ohio State to beat Iowa in the Big Ten, beat an undefeated Iowa in the Big Ten championship.
Speaking of Oregon here, let's get into our top high performance players from last week. We might have an Oregon player on the docket.
Your I-80 Sports High Performance Players of the Week.
I'll jump right on that, Rich. Let's start with one of my guys, running back C.J. Verdell of Oregon. He had 20 carries for 161 yards and two touchdowns, three receptions for 34 yards and a touchdown. That led Oregon to the upset win over Ohio State last week. The Ducks led 14-7 at the half. Anybody that was betting probably felt comfortable that they'd be able to cover if they took Oregon, but then about a minute into the third quarter, Verdell broke off a 77-yard touchdown run that let everyone know that not only were the Ducks going to contend in this game, but they had a really good shot at pulling off the upset, which they ended up doing. So my running back for last week was C.J. Verdell at Oregon.
Let's stick right here in that same game, that Oregon-Ohio State game. Dave, who do you have for us in that game?
Yeah, even in a loss, C.J. Stroud, he actually played pretty well. He was 35 of 54 for 484, three touchdowns and an interception. I think he was a little in the beginning of the Minnesota game, you know, he was a little because it was his first start. But I think he's starting to get comfortable in the offense. I think Ohio State will be fine. But I don't know if they recover from this one loss to make the playoffs. But I don't think Ohio State has to worry about C.J. Stroud as their quarterback going forward.
Yeah, he pretty much cemented himself there. We have an excellent game, one of the top games on the week, the Florida-Alabama game. Quarterback in that game that Ed would like to talk about, Anthony Richards.
Yeah, I had two quarterbacks that I'll talk about real quick over here for the high-performance players, and I'll start with who you said there, Rich. Quarterback Anthony Richardson out of Florida. He was a 2024-star recruit, and – you know, outside of Gainesville up until this past Saturday, he was pretty much an unknown, but he is no longer unknown. He was 3 for 3 for 152 yards and two touchdowns. He had four carries for 115 yards and a touchdown. And just, he's a game changer. And because of that, he's actually been announced that more than likely he's going to be splitting time with the starter, Emory Jones, this week when the Gators host Alabama. Explosive kid, really strong arm. Like everybody down there in Gator Nation will tell you that Emory Jones, they know what they're going to get with him. He can run. He's a nice running quarterback. But this kid, Anthony Richardson, not only can run, but he can also throw the ball. His carries were a couple design plays, but one of them was a nice like 18-yard run on a scramble. So look for Anthony Richardson this weekend against Alabama. And my last high-performance player was another quarterback, Brennan Armstrong, University of Virginia. 27 of 36, 405 passing yards, and five TDs in their 42-14 win over the Illini this past weekend. He is probably one of the most underrated quarterbacks in college football, but he'll have a chance to kind of get rid of that moniker and become more prominent, I guess, based on how he does this weekend when they play North Carolina in a big ACC showdown. Virginia, North Carolina this weekend, but that's quarterback Brennan Armstrong from Virginia.
Yeah, one of the other marquee matchups we have here this week is Penn State at Auburn. Dave, you want to tell us a little bit about something that may affect that game moving forward this week?
Yeah, I think the first 2 weeks they were high-performance players. I don't think we've discussed a defensive player. We got to give some defensive players some love. Jesse Lucchetta, linebacker at Penn State. Against Ball State, he had to play the first half at off the ball linebacker, which is not his natural position. And he came up. He had four tackles, I believe two for loss. He had a couple of quarterback pressures, and then he also had that amazing one handed interception, which he took to the house. He's just another one, I guess, in a long line of Penn State linebackers who just always seem to churn out of that university.
Absolutely, definitely got to give the defensive players some love here. Let's move into our next segment. This is the toll booth section.
The I-80 Sports Toll Booth, where you can find the best bets of the week.
So it says bets here. We're going to talk some predictions as well as some picks. So let's get into our first matchup here. We have old Big 12 rivals meeting Saturday, Nebraska at Oklahoma, number 3 Oklahoma. Oklahoma's 2-0 here on the year. They had a scare from Tulane in week 1. And they throttled Western Carolina 76-0 in week 2. They're second in the entire FBS with 58 points per game. I have a Heisman hopeful quarterback in Spencer Rattler. He's got a talented supporting cast. And on the other side of the ball, we have Nebraska sitting at 2-1. They're on a 2-game win streak after a shocking loss to Illinois in the opener. Scott Frost is on the hot seat. Obviously, that's Nebraska's head coach here, Scott Frost. And they have senior quarterback Adrian Martinez. He has 7 TDs this season. The interesting thing about this matchup here is the next time they play, it'll be an SEC Big Ten matchup. So let that sink in a little bit. On Saturday, it's a Big 12 throwback game. So, Ed, why don't you take us into your predictions here for Nebraska and Oklahoma?
Like you said, Nebraska is going to travel number 3 Oklahoma. Actually, this Saturday will be the 50th anniversary of the game of the century, where on Thanksgiving Day in 1971, number 1 Nebraska beat number 2 Oklahoma 35-31. Johnny Rogers had a 70-plus yard punt return that kind of solidified his Heisman Trophy that year for Nebraska. Honestly, this was one of the fiercest rivalries way back. These guys used to battle every year when they were in the old Big 8, and it was just a great, great rivalry, but that's long gone. This game shouldn't even be close. My prediction, without even getting into betting, Oklahoma's game's over by halftime. Oklahoma's going to have Nebraska come into town, knock them around. Oklahoma big. I think the game's over at halftime.
Yeah, the spread's sitting at over 3 touchdowns in that one, so the betting odds are not in favor of Nebraska in that matchup. Another underrated Power 5 matchup we have here in Week 3 is Miami Hurricanes hosting the Michigan State Spartans in South Florida. There's a lot of opportunities on the line here for Miami. They really have to win this game. No one really saw them beating Alabama in their opening week game, but the Spartans, I think, are a rebuilding team, so losing to them at home would definitely be a tough look for that Miami team. Mel Tucker has the Spartans at 2-0 in his second season in East Lansing. It's not really a signature win, but I think it could be a huge step in the right direction. There's Michigan State Spartans here. So this is another interesting game here, Michigan State at Miami, number 24 Miami.
Yeah, I like Michigan State here. I'm not sure what they're getting. I know they're not favored. But Miami needed
late 6.5 as of a couple of days ago. I'm not
six
sure
and a half under. Yeah, I think I jump on that because Miami hasn't really proven itself. They got beat up by Alabama. They needed a late field goal to beat Appalachian State last week to avoid their 0-2 start. Michigan State looks to prove it's for real. I mean, they haven't. Northwestern, we'll still yet to see what Northwestern is, but Michigan State hasn't had a big win yet. By any means. So I'm looking here. Running back Kenneth Walker III has been awesome since transferring from Wake Forest to Michigan State. He's had 321 yards and 5 touchdowns on just 30 carries through his first 2 games. I think they're going to try to lean on him. Miami does have a good run defense. Didn't really let Alabama run on them. So didn't let App State. They kind of got to beat through the air. I still like Michigan State getting 6.5 points. I don't think either team has really proven themselves yet. But unless Derek King starts stepping up, I like Michigan State here in an upset.
It's an interesting look there for sure with that game creeping towards a touchdown here. Dave, let's get into one of your matchups here. So we have the UConn Huskies and Army Black Knights. They're going to meet Saturday, week 3 college football action at Mitchie Stadium. The Huskies really need a victory here after losing their first 3 games. They're 0-3. And the Black Knights look for another win after beating Georgia State and Western Kentucky, which are two pretty tough teams here. The Huskies are looking to avoid their first 0-4 start since 2013, and Army's looking for their first 3-0 start since 2016. What do you got for this?
Yeah, UConn has been a mess. I mean, they finally got rid of their coach, Randy Etzel. He was going to go. He's not going to go. He's going to stay till the end of the year. So I think now they finally have the clarity with that. I think that'll help. And plus, Army's a ball control team, and 34 points is a lot to lay. 34 and a half is a lot to lay for Army, who's a ball control team. And I really think UConn's going to cover the spread. Army wins, but I would say maybe by 20 to 24 points.
All right. Good look there on the Army and UConn matchup. Another matchup we'll get into in Happy Valley this week. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. We have the Penn State Nittany Lions welcoming the Auburn Tigers. This is one of the biggest games of the slate, number 10 Penn State and number 22 Auburn. Both teams are 2-0. It's going to be a great game under the lights in Beaver Stadium. Penn State really, they have gotten off to a terrific start under James Franklin. They went into Camp Randall, beat a ranked Wisconsin Badgers team, and they won their home opener over Ball State, who was last year's MAC champion. Those of you that have been following us for a while know I was on Ball State for the last half of that season. I'm a big Ball State fan here. Just like what they can do, like the way they run the ball and control the tempo. But here, Ball State might be a look this week also as far as betting is concerned. But speaking about Auburn, the Tigers have scored over 60 points in their first 2 games. So not going to be an easy one here for Penn State. Number 22, Auburn, at number 10, Penn State. What do we have on this?
Yeah, well, Penn State's making this the game of the year for them right out of the gate. This is going to be the annual whiteout game for Penn State. And when they do that, it is quite an atmosphere in Happy Valley when they have whiteout games like this. This is going to be Auburn's first trip ever to Happy Valley to play Penn State. And I think the whiteout should be more than enough with the defense that Penn State has to lead them to a victory. Now, I'm not a big Penn State guy. Bo Nix, they're averaging, like you said, 61 points a year, but they really haven't played anybody. This is going to be their first real challenge. I know you're a Ball State guy, but you know, we don't really know what Wisconsin's going to be about this year. So Penn State hasn't done much either, but I think them playing at home, having the white out under the lights is going to be enough of an advantage with them. And they have a very strong defense that I like Penn State in this one. To knock off Auburn for the first time this year.
That'll be definitely one of the key games on this slate. Another game that's not really getting as much attention that I think is going to be a sneaky good game is the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and the Clemson Tigers. They're playing at Clemson Memorial Stadium. Georgia Tech is coming off a win versus Kennesaw State. They really blew them out in that game. The Tigers played South Carolina State. They won by 46 points. So both teams coming off a blowout win. Georgia Tech looks a little shaky early. They lost 22-21 against Northern Illinois, and they were up 24-3 against Kennesaw State. They won 45-17 last week. Over on the Clemson side, we know week one they fell to Georgia 10-3. They played South Carolina State this weekend. They scored 28 points in the first quarter. Never looked back, 149-3. What do we think is going to happen this Georgia Tech versus Clemson matchup?
Well, I think it's good for Clemson to get back into the comforts of the ACC where they just don't lose. In fact, Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville lost on Sunday. That was his first regular season loss of his career. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't DJ Ukulele, wasn't his first start last year against Georgia Tech? Did they play Georgia Tech?
No, his first – Boston College and then Notre Dame.
Right. Oh, okay. But I think, I said back home in the ACC, I think this is a game that's going to be over by halftime. And I think it's like 47-7 Clemson.
So we're expecting a blowout here. That's a lot of points, man. Over four TDs is a lot. And Georgia Tech is – I was a little higher on Georgia Tech. But, hey, you never know. That's why there's different sides in the betting matchups here. So we have our one final game we're going to talk about. This is a pretty big one. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. We have the Alabama Crimson Tide visiting the Florida Gators. Rematch of last year's SEC championship game. Whenever the Crimson Tide and Florida Gators face one another, whether it's an SEC championship game towards the end of the season or in a crucial spot like this, if you're into college football, you should definitely be invested in watching that game. The Crimson Tide visiting the number 11th ranked Gators in Gainesville draws a ton of interest here from viewers, bettors alike. I think everyone's really going to try to tune into this one. Both teams know a lot about each other. Bryce Young and Alabama thrashed Miami, then they sleepwalked over Mercer. But Florida has been a class above FAU and South Florida in their two wins. So this is going to be Florida's real true test. Do we think this is going to be a game, or do we think Alabama rolls?
Alabama rolls. Hey, the Swamp's a tough place to play. It's not easy to go to Gainesville and play. A lot of people are saying this is going to be the first real test for the Crimson Tide this year. No, it's not. Alabama is well ahead, I feel, of everybody else in college football at this point. Their defense is playing very good, if not great. Bryce Young has thrown for 571 yards and 7 TDs to start the season. I think this is going to end up being over early. I'd be surprised if it isn't. You know, give Florida some credit. I mean, like we said, the quarterback situation, they have some talent. The defense is okay, but they're not in Alabama's league. If I look at it right now, the Tide's going to roll, and I have Alabama at one, and then everybody else just trying to battle to be number two and have a shot to play Alabama in the national title game. Alabama just looks – they just look well and above everybody else at this point. Maybe we get surprised. Maybe Florida gives them a game. I don't see it happening. I really don't see anybody giving Alabama – they're good. I hate to say it, but they're good.
Alabama definitely looks like the team to beat this year. Like you said, they really do look like a class above the rest of the college football landscape here. Let's take a look at some rear view from I-80 Sports.
The I-80 Sports Rear View, where we take a look back at topics from last week's show.
So we can recap some of our wagers here. So I gave out three last week. I went 1-2 on those. I gave out Ohio State money line and the Bills money line that lost both ways. So at least one team didn't blow it for the other. I gave out Utah -7. They lost outright to BYU, but I did give out Toledo. That was my favorite bet of the week, was Toledo. That's why I said that one first. That was my most confident one. And we saw what they did to Notre Dame. I'm going back to the well. I'm betting against Notre Dame again. I like Purdue +7 this week. I'm going back to the well with Utah -7. I'm going with Arizona State -2.5. And I know Dave was very pleased as a fan about one of his selections in the rear view last week. Which one was that, Dave?
Yeah, Pitt being a road favorite at Tennessee. And they almost let Tennessee come back and win that game, but they were able to pull out the 41-34 victory, and they were favored by 3.5, so they covered the spread. And this week they got – who do they got this week? Is it Eastern Michigan or somebody? And so they should go 3-0. Western Michigan. Oh, what's the idea? Yeah. It is much. Okay. Yeah, and so they should go to 3-0. Yeah. So Pitt wins, they go 3-0 before they hit ACC play. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I made no predictions. They had no bets. You know, our boss, Bob, might get mad at me for a free ad here, but I was at a wedding down at Beach Haven, Long Beach Island. I'm telling you now, if anybody's looking for a place to get married, the Seashell down in Beach Haven, it was absolutely fantastic job what they did there. And, any Eagle fans for the NFL, their Tiki Bar is a great place to go watch an Eagle game on a Sunday if you're down the shore. Beach Haven, the Seashell, check it out. Let's see. Only thing I'll say is I said Iowa was going to be tough for Iowa State, and I still think Iowa is going to be a contender to win the Big Ten this year.
Anybody have any officials here before we wrap it up leading into this week 3 matchups?
I have nothing.
All right.
No, I think we covered it.
We're rolling with my three here. That was Arizona State -2.5. That one moved a little bit. I'm back on Utah. Purdue could be a little scary. I've been betting against Notre Dame twice, but but I'm
Purdue's 2-0.
Well, here,
Purdue's a lot of people say that's an upset game to watch right here. I, you know what? I said it earlier. If you want me to give something, I'm not 100% confident in it, and I'm not very good at college football. I've told you that last week, but I do like Michigan State. I do like Michigan State this week. I haven't been impressed with Miami at all. So I think if Michigan State can run the ball a little bit, they have a shot. So I'll throw Michigan State in there.
There we go. Michigan State at Miami. We said that was like a 6.5-7 point spread as of right now. So there's some other games to take a look at. Texas A&M -27 against New Mexico. Kind of like that. Like Ball State getting points against Wyoming. I was on Wyoming last week. And
the only thing I'll say about Texas A&M is their starter, Haynes King, their quarterback's out. He broke his foot, I think it was his foot. So he's going to be out for a while. New Mexico hasn't beaten anybody. They're 2-0. I think Texas A&M is going to win, but I think they're going to lean heavily on those running backs, which isn't a bad thing to do. So what did you say the spread was with that? 27.5. Yeah, be a little cautious because they're playing a backup quarterback. I know that.
All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up here?
Real quick, I know it's probably for a bigger debate, but the targeting rule, they got to make that like a technical foul in the NBA where you get like one and then the second one you're out. To eject a person for one hit is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think Dave threw that in there just to tick me off because in our dynasty college football fantasy league, my team is on fire, high score for a week. Last week, I ended up tying, and I lost because my bench points. And the reason I tied was my kicker is the sophomore out of USC who got ejected making the tackle on the opening kickoff for targeting. So I had no kicker. So, Dave, I know you did that on purpose because I don't like Pitt, so I'm going to get you. But, yeah, I would agree with you on that. I mean, come on. You're ejecting a kicker for targeting? Give me a break.
Yeah,
it's a horrible rule. It really is. I hate to see the guys making a clean tackle. They might have led with the helmet a little bit. I get it's in there for safety and all that.
Rich, you're a coach, man. He's a kicker. You really think he's targeting
the game?
Kicker.
Don't kick these guys out of the game. They got to change.
No pun intended.
I'm not a fan of that rule. It's got to go. It really has got to go. Or they got to make a change to it. But. We do appreciate everybody for tuning in here at I-80 Sports College Football. That was our week three preview. Hopefully we liked some of our picks from before. Hopefully they come through for everybody. And we'll be back again next week. Please like, subscribe, and we'll see everybody then. Thanks for watching.
Give us a thumbs up, everybody.